Former State Representative Mark Meadows has been thinking about hiking the Appalachian Trail for decades. This summer, he did it. Well, about half of its 2,200 miles. Meadows started his south-to-north hike in Georgia in March, expecting warmer weather than the sub-freezing overnight lows he encountered during the first week. He stopped for the season after about 100 days in Maryland with his son by his side part of the time, and he hopes to complete the rest of the hike next year. Current state Scott Pohl took a walk with Mark Meadows on Lansing's River Trail to learn more about his Appalachian Trail adventure.
When you begin the trail, I think myself, like a lot of other people, sort of have a schedule. You know, you're going to do 8 miles this day from this point to the next shelter or something like that. But as you begin to hike, it's less important to have the target than the time. So you begin earlier, you know. I think the first night I was out, I got back on the trail about 10 a.m. and, you know, hiked till about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, did about 10 miles. And by the time I finished, you know, I'd do 20 mile days. It didn't matter, you know, if you made it to a shelter or not. You realized right away that you can just throw down your tent, or by then I was sleeping in a hammock, or put up your hammock anywhere. So you just hike till it starts to get dark, and then you settle down for the night.
You mentioned your son doing some of the walk with you. Was it otherwise a solitary endeavor?
Yeah, you know, I started out, I didn't have a partner or anything. I was going to do it no matter what, but honestly, you're never really solitary. I mean, you may be solitary in the sense that you're hiking during the daytime on a trail. They call it the Green Tunnel, although because I started so early, it wasn't so green when I began. You may not see anybody for hours at a time. On the other hand, every time you stop, you end up, you know, when I began, I'd end up with 30 to 40 people in the campsite at the same time I was. So there's a lot of people on the trail with this same objective, to finish hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Now, we decided to do this interview while taking a walk of our own, and we're on the Lansing River Trail. We happen to be on a pretty busy stretch of it right here. I'm going to guess you didn't hear a lot of automobile traffic like this.
No. We did cross roads every once in a while, but I can't say I heard a lot of automobile traffic at all. In fact, at some point, I think it was early June, was the 17-year explosion of cicadas in along the trail. And really, it was as deafening as those cars were. It was just as deafening on the trail during the day. I mean, they are incredibly loud, especially when you have thousands and thousands of them that are hatching and up in the trees.
Was this a fitness thing for you, a scenery thing, some combination of factors like that led you to want to do this?
Yes, but I think that certainly the scenery is inspiring. And, you know, after you've climbed a couple of thousand feet, and then you're overlooking the broad valleys and vistas and the mountains rolling off into the distance, you say, you know, this is why I got up here, so I could see this. There's no other way to see that. But the actual physical challenge, I think, is the number one reason that I wanted to do it. I enjoy physical challenges, and to me, the idea of hiking, which I've always enjoyed, hiking, climbing, and descending, which actually is harder than the climbs, is something that I, you know, you test yourself every day, and I wanted that test.
You sort of carry your life on your back, is that right? Essentially your tent, your hammock, your food. If you can't carry it, you don't have it, you don't use it, right?
That's exactly right. There's a freedom associated with hiking, period, but, you know, particularly on the trail, because for long stretches you won't be, you know, you can't just say, you know, I think I'll spend the night in town tonight. And so you have everything you you need on your back. And you begin, as I did, I started out with, I think, a 36-pound pack. And the first four towns I reached, I sent stuff home. You know, it was stuff that you realize right away, I'm not going to use this. Or if I do need something like this, you know, the next town I hit, I'll just get it. You know, I told my wife, I think I spent like $1,000 on bandages while I was on the trail, because blisters aren't part of the trail, you know. And the it seems like I always had plenty of those in my pack.
Cold, hot, rainy, tired. Did you ever have moments of doubt? Why am I doing this? Did you ever find yourself trying to talk yourself out of it, trying to talk yourself into quitting?
No, I didn't talk myself into quitting, but I certainly had those questions sometimes. I remember I was walking into, or hiking into an area called Rock Gap, and it was probably 40 degrees. You know, it was pouring down rain. I was just soaked to the skin, because what you learn very quickly is that your rain gear can be very good. It protects you from the rain. It keeps you from getting wet that way, but you sweat like a pig in that stuff, so you're always wet anyway. And so I'm hiking down this trail, I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing? And that was after, like, a week before, when we were hiking in where the rain had frozen on the rocks, so it was extraordinarily slippery and dangerous for everybody who was on the trail. And so you do question yourself sometimes, but that whole experience is part of the physical challenge and mental challenge that you have as you hike the trail. It makes the experience more valuable to you.
During the hike, you posted periodically to your Facebook page stories about what was going on around you, and very eloquently wrote at the end of your hike for this year about your experience, and actually expressed something akin to depression about stopping.
I think that one of the things you get used to, and I'm still adjusting to this, frankly, that first week I got back, I did a 50-mile bike, and then a 30-mile, and then another 30-mile, and did a hike through East Lansing, where I was out for probably a 10-miler, to keep my activity level a little bit high. And I've gone up north to our cabin, kayaked 10 miles, and hiked twice 12 miles through the woods. The thing that sort of depressed me was that, what do you do when you become used to 8 to 10 hours of aerobic activity every day? I mean, I assume a lot of people think, jogging, not walking, is an aerobic activity, but hiking is an aerobic activity that requires you to, sometimes climb 3,000 feet. And during that time, it's an intense physical activity. Then you've got to come down that 3,000 feet, and sometimes that is so steep that it is just as strenuous and as an activity. And so when you get used to doing that every day, the idea of coming back and, sort of searching for its equivalent, and you're not going to be able to find that, because you'd have to get up every morning and be out the door at 7 a.m. and just decide you're going to walk for 8 to 10 hours. And, after a while, that get kind of boring around here. I hate to say that, but, you can walk the river trail, as we're doing. But, after a while, you don't want to just keep going over the same ground.
Well, sure, sure. So back next year, starting when?
I haven't decided that yet. Originally, I was going to go north to south next year, and I've pretty much rethought that. I think I'm going back to my end point and starting north again. And the reason is that after a while you get what you call your hiking legs, You know, when I started, I got to my first night, I put up my tent. I texted my wife and said, man, it only took me like 5 hours to get to my point. I'm so excited. Can't wait till tomorrow. Well, tomorrow was the eye-opener. That was much more of a climb and much more difficult than that first stretch that I was in. More like the real trail. From then on, you know, every day is this giant physical activity that, you know, you can't replicate anywhere else. If I go from where I started or where I ended, then I've got some pretty reasonable climbs through Pennsylvania and New York and into Massachusetts. And then the terrain becomes extremely difficult. The two most difficult areas of the trail are at the beginning and the end.
Well, Mark Meadows, I want to thank you for sharing the story of your hike on the Appalachian Trail. Thanks for indulging me in a walk along the Lansing River Trail and for taking it easy on a novice like me.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I was hiking the last 20 miles with colleague of mine from former colleague of mine who has served in the legislature with me, actually a couple of them, and one of them kept dragging behind. He's a big hiker. I mean, he's hiked all over the world. He commented on how hard the trail was, but he also said, I'm calling you Robo Hiker from now on because I am pretty quick when I walk. So.
Well, Mark Meadows, thank you very much.
I'm glad to have been there. Thanks, Scott.
For Current State, along the Lansing River Trail, this is Scott Pohl.